Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you love Atlanta, you can invest in the big picture. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From WABE in Atlanta, this is Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Coming up on today's program, now odds are it's not going to snow in most of Georgia. Well, especially if it doesn't snow, y'all won't have a white Christmas. Sorry about that. But how about a green Christmas? Well, we'll hear suggestions for a wonderful, sustainable holiday season that will not only help reduce waste, but it won't harm the environment. And also, we'll talk about what to expect with perhaps a potential increase in COVID-19 cases and other respiratory viruses. All that's just ahead, but first we begin with this, an alarming review. From a bipartisan investigation into sexual abuse of women in federal prisons was revealed during a Senate hearing today. For the last 8 months, Georgia Senator and Chairman John Ossoff and the Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations conducted the probe. Now, the following clip contains descriptions of sexual abuse. It is about 36 seconds long.
The subcommittee has found that Bureau of Prisons employees sexually abused female prisoners in at least two-thirds of federal prisons that have held women over the past decade. We found that BOP has failed to prevent, detect, and stop recurring sexual abuse, including by senior prison officials. At FCI Dublin in California, for example, both the warden and the chaplain sexually abused female prisoners. We found that BOP has failed to successfully implement the Prison Rape Elimination Act, or PREA.
Now, others who testified told the committee sexual misconduct detection and accountability was immediately needed. In other news, Georgia's Secretary of State office has received a subpoena from Special Counsel Jack Smith, who's investigating former President Donald Trump, as we continue to hear from Susanna Capiluto.
Special Counsel Jack Smith was appointed last month to oversee the Justice Department investigation into the presence of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. He's also overseeing a separate probe into the January 6th insurrection and Trump's various efforts to overturn 2020 election results. That includes the now famous phone call Trump made to Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, asking him to, quote, find roughly 12,000 votes. Raffensperger's office confirmed receipt of the subpoena, but had no further comment. Subpoenas were also issued in other states last week that, like Georgia, saw efforts to overturn 2020 election results. Susanna Capiluto, WABE News.
And the motoring group AAA says it expects more Georgians than ever to travel this end-of-the-year holiday season, as we hear from Molly Samuel.
AAA is estimating around 3.5 million Georgians will take a trip of more than 50 miles between December 23rd and January 2nd. The group says that would be way more than previous years. The forecast says about 90% of all travel will be on the roads, with the busiest day projected to be December 23rd during evening rush hour. Meantime, expect airports to be busier than in past years, too, as flying is expected to tick up. Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson Airport pretty much has a standing notification on social media to arrive 2 hours early for flights. Molly Samuel, WABE News.
And note to Rose, do not travel December 23rd. Finally, the city's traditional peach drop is coming back to the underground Atlanta venue this New Year's Eve. Yay! That's after a three-year-long hiatus because of the pandemic. Now, city council officials say Live Nation will provide the talent and an event production team for the festival. Of course, admission to the festival has always been free to the public. The mayor's office should release more information about the event in the coming weeks. And let's just say this. Years ago, when I was a member of the WAB newsroom, and I covered the peach drop, covered it for a lot of times, and when they booked the classic rock group Kansas, I'm just saying, ugh. I like Kansas. They all right, but, you know, it wasn't like Janelle Monae, but it was, you know, I'm just saying. So I hope folks are listening. And on that note, as we flow into asking you to help us, because that's what we do on this day, let me just take a few moments to tell you my apologies to all the Kansas fans. And I interviewed the guy from Kansas. He was cool, but it's like, y'all got like three songs. Anyway, but Kansas is not like a New Year's Eve band that you hear, right, bro?
Yeah, I've seen Kansas. I
saw on purpose?
They were opening for Emerson, Lake, and Palmer years ago. At Lakewood.
Look, I'm just saying, when it comes to New Year's Eve and you want to rock out, I'm not sure Kansas.
Not top of our list.
Right. They're the Dust in the Wind group, right? They sing Dust in the Wind. Don't they sing that? I don't know. Anyway, someone will know. We are now 86% of the way finished with the member drive, making these the final hours of the F22 member drive. Now, when you make a year-end gift to help fund programs like Closer Look, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a $1,000, get this, Delta Airlines gift card. As you just heard, there's a lot of traveling, so you can use it next year. The drawing is for everyone, like you, right now, who makes a donation during Closer Look, and it's easy to do. WABE.org/donate. Joining me now with more, our WABE politics reporter, if you haven't heard him laugh, Raul Bali. Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Didn't know you were a Kansas fan.
Not really. I was there more for ELP.
Yeah, but still.
But speaking of travel, I'm traveling at the end of the week, so looking forward to that. And traveling Delta. And $1,000 goes a long way, you know. So if you want to get in on that drawing, 678-553-9090. You know, we're here at the end of the year. And when you donate money now, it helps us plan for 2023. You know, for our coverage down at the state capitol. And actually, I just came from the state capitol. Do you see what I have in my hand, Rose? I have, WABE has 7 credentialed reporters at the state capitol for the upcoming session, including Sam Greenglass and I,
sure,
who are down there every day.
Yeah.
But we're going to have a whole team of reporters covering different issues down there. And that's what your donation does to support us. And think about all the other great stories that you've heard on WABE. You know, back in July, all things considered, you know, the simple joys of riding a bike.
I love riding a bike.
Our family took up biking during COVID, and we still do. We love Suwannee Greenway, Big Creek Greenway. I did the Georgia 400 path for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Look at you.
That hill's no joke, by the way. Those were some of the great stories you hear here on WABE. So, and those stories take time, they take energy, whether it's sending 7 reporters to the state capitol, all things considered, doing that rich piece on biking. So those donations you've made in the past helped us do those stories. We're looking for your gift. We hope you'll help join us on our mission here. That gift card, you know, for $1,000, you get in on that drawing. WABE.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. Thank you much.
My name is Betsy Rain Miner, and I live in Roswell, Georgia. I enjoy Rose Scott's questions. She encourages her guests to think and answer difficult questions in a really kind way. And I like the way that she draws answers out of people and conducts some really compelling interviews.
Thank you so much for your support of Closer Look, Betsy. And when you talk about those interviews, like the one interview that pops into my head immediately Vincent Fort, who was running against David Scott. And you know, Rose asked the questions that needed to be asked. You know, it's not, you know, a softball interview. Listen to earlier this week, Mary Louise Kelly with Newt Gingrich, you know, a masterclass on interviewing. Again, it's your support that helps us do that kind of work, both on support what NPR does and support what Rose does here at WABE. Your donation is what makes it all happen. I hope you'll go, whether it's a monthly gift or a one-time gift, at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. 9090. Thank you so much.
And also keep in mind, folks, it takes a team. You know, we're small but mighty. I say this a lot. It takes a team. My producers, Daniel and LaShawn and Pat St. Clair and Kevin, who rides a bike, you know, and all the producers, you know, past and present and future, you know, it takes a lot. So we rely on your gift to pay for programs like Closer Look. And far and away, we know the largest source of our funding comes from in and around Metro Atlanta. So I'm asking you, take a moment to lend some of your help to your own, for your own good, because we think you like us, at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. And as always, thank you so much.
When you include WABE on your gift list this December, we'd like to send you a thank you gift as well. Choose from an array of thank you gifts, including a subscription to the New York Times, the new Amplifying Atlanta mug, or the iconic WABE tote bag. Plus, your year-end gift will continue to power WABE through 2023. See all of our thank you gifts for yourself at wabe.org/donate. Thank you.
Got a listener that says, Rose, I like Kansas. Of course you do. And I'm happy for you. And I like Kansas. I am the daughter of a musician. I know good music. I'm just saying, y'all, for the last time, Kansas is not the band to rock out to on New Year's Eve. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think they ever did Dick Clark's show. you know what? I do want one other thing I forgot to mention is your donation can be matched by your employer. And if you want to figure out if your company or your organization does that, go to wabe.org/match, scroll down to find your employer's name. That's another way that your money can go so much further for what we do here at WABE. You know, your team and what they do, you guys do on Closer Look every single day, not once a week, every single day. Just like we're going to be down, our team that's going to be down at the state capitol every single day for the 40 days. So again, if you want to find out about gift matching, wabe.org/match.
And remember now, when you donate right now, your name is being entered into a drawing to win $1,000 Delta Airlines gift card. That is pretty cool because we are in the final hours of the fundraiser. So please help us support the program you love and give a year-end gift right now at wabe.org/donate. I love this music. I changed my tone. Give us a call, 678-553-9090. And happy holidays from WABE.
Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. You can go beyond giving to impact. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
You love free, and at Ameris Bank, so do we. That's why we're proud to offer worry-free, hassle-free Ameris Bank free checking. Manage your money your way with convenient access to digital, mobile, and telephone banking, all with no monthly service fee or minimum balance requirements. At Ameris Bank, we're with you. For more information or to open an account, visit our local bankers in person or online at amerisbank.com/free checking. Other fees such as overdraft fees may apply. Ameris Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. Little Chet Baker for y'all. We are, of course, not that far away from that big day. You know what the big day is. Christmas. And for those that celebrate and those that have been out finding a tree, we talked about it yesterday, how to find the perfect Christmas tree, how to have a sustainable Christmas tree environment, all that good stuff. We're going to continue our conversation because as you think about how you and your family will celebrate this holiday, you may be wondering how to save money and minimize waste. Now, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, between Thanksgiving through New Year, Americans throw out, wait for it, 25% more waste. Talking to you all out there, not me. So to put that into perspective, the holiday waste surge equals to about 1 million extra tons of trash every year. And I'm a big fan of, we don't need wrapping paper. Just give the gift, okay? Because the wrapping paper is a big part of that. But anyway, environmental experts say small changes in how you eat, shop, the lights you use for decorations, and the kind of Christmas tree you purchase can all benefit the environment. And no one knows this more than my next guest. It's Megan Whitehead. She's a program and affiliate support manager at the Keep Georgia Beautiful Foundation. Megan, welcome.
Thank you, Rose. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Now, I'm going to get emails saying, Rose, you don't want us to buy wrapping paper. But let's back up a little bit. Tell our listeners about Keep Georgia Beautiful Foundation.
Yeah. So we are a state affiliate of our national organization, Keep America Beautiful. And Keep America Beautiful started in 1953 with the main purpose of focusing on litter. With the introduction of the highway system in the U.S., all of a sudden, there was an introduction in street litter and by the masses. So they worked on PSAs to try to get Americans to not throw litter out their trash throw trash out their windows and to clean up around their communities. But then they decided they needed more boots on the ground to do those efforts and to really make an impact. So they created the first local affiliate, which was in Macon. So Georgia has a wonderful history with Keep America Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they started in 1974. And then in 1978, we came along, Keep Georgia Beautiful. And we were not called Keep Georgia Beautiful Foundation at the time, but we started as the one of the first state affiliates to help support the local affiliates. So nationally, there are 700 affiliates that are doing wonderful work. And in Georgia, we have over 70 affiliates. Some of them are housed in local government, some are nonprofits, and some are a hybrid of the two. But our mission is to educate and inspire Georgians every day to take action to improve and beautify their communities. So that's the heart.
Megan, let me ask you this, because how does an organization like yours, and other organizations may have a different assessment, but, you know, listen, I remember, and I'm aging myself, remember that PSA commercial where the person portraying the Native American, there was all this trash. I think it was somewhere in New York, one of the rivers. And from then on, we were taught about the importance of keeping our land beautiful. And we were taught the importance of not littering. And how do you measure, I guess, human behavior in this area when it comes to, you know, being, quote, eco-friendly and all that? How do you measure that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that campaign was actually a Keep America Beautiful campaign.
It was.
Okay. Yeah. So that had a huge impact on how we perceived what was going on around us. But Keep America Beautiful, and then it translates down to the local affiliates. We look at the behavior change. Mm-hmm. And so there actually is a behavior change model. It looks at infrastructure, it looks at economy, it looks at what people are doing, and are they doing it because there's not infrastructure in place, or are they doing it because they just get into this habit and, oh, somebody else is going to come along and pick it up for me. Mm-hmm. So that's ever changing. There's psychologists that work nationally with Keep America Beautiful to really dig deep into that question. Why are we doing what we're doing? And how can we help change our views? And a lot of it comes with incentives and helping education, where education's the key. So our goal is to get into the schools and get into communities and just look at what their needs are. Because if their needs are vast and they have some big obstacles, they're not going to really worry about litter on the ground. But to see how that affects our health, how that affects our economy, how that affects us just wanting to get out and enjoy the outdoors, which has a huge positive effect. So that really it's ongoing, but incentivizing communities, helping to create good volunteer forces to get out there and help clean up. If you see your neighbor out there picking up, you're more likely to go up and out and pick up out with them. Ownership, etc.
I remember reading something, and it might have been last year, about landfills. Basically, the message was, we're running out of space. And I thought, wow. Because, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it almost half or nearly half of the trash? It's not biodegradable, correct? It's just going to be there.
It is just going to be there. And so speaking to those who create items and ship packages and everything, how can we create things that are recyclable, or at least compostable, things that are going to break down? Because there's a lot of things, you are correct, there's a lot of things that are in our landfills that are not going to break down, or they're not going to break down anytime soon. It's going to take hundreds and thousands of years. So we need to really think critically about our current situation, but even more critically about the future.
Let's begin with the Christmas tree. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. You all actually have a tree recycling program. It's, I love it. Bring one for the chipper.
Yes. So we are, I believe, and somebody may correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we are still the largest Christmas tree recycling program in the nation. And we started in 1991 when there really wasn't a good curbside recycling program. I think now a lot of communities will do curbside pickup, and Boy Scouts, of course, are always a wonderful partner, and they will go out and round up as far as a fundraiser. But in 91, we started that program just to give folks an option to do something with their trees. So, today, we have over 150 locations that will be up. We have our chipper locations on our website, which is kgbf.org. Mm-hmm. And you can look up for a location countywide. But you have options. You can bring your tree to a chipping site and get it chipped. You can get free mulch oftentimes from those sites. Tree experts help us chip locally in the metro area at the Home Depot sites. But some affiliates choose to put their trees in lakes for fish habitat. Sometimes they'll put
really?
It in forests for wildlife habitat, or sometimes used for alternative fuel sources. So there's a lot of great ways to give your tree another life, which is wonderful.
I have a question here from a listener. What happens to Christmas trees if they aren't recycled properly? I mean, I've seen folks put their tree out. I'm not going to name any names, neighbor, old neighbor. I'm going to make a lot of friends today, aren't I? put them out, you know, on the side for, you know, the city to pick up. And I'm like, you know, and I don't want to be that lady in the neighborhood that writes the anonymous note. You know better than that. You know, I'm not saying I've done that. I'm just saying there are folks on my street. But what happens to a Christmas tree if it isn't properly recycled?
Well, it depends on what the code enforcement regulations are in the community, but one of the dangers that they're not properly recycled, if they're just left out on the tree, it's going to attract critters. So that could be a hazard for homeowners. That could be a hazard for the animals that say, oh, this is a nice, wonderful home, but now I'm close to the roadways and I'm going to get hit by cars. So, the best thing to do is, if you do see trees, I mean, with a natural tree that doesn't have any flocking on it and is not a fake tree and doesn't have the ornaments and lights, that tree will eventually rot. Mm. So you don't want to leave it there.
And I know some folks will say, well, you know, I'm going to save a tree by not purchasing a live tree. I'm going to buy an artificial one. But folks need to know, too. Now, if we're all in this space about, you know, where we get our goods from, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, if not 75% or more artificial trees come from China, correct? Or made
I'm
in
not
China?
Exactly sure on that statistic, but like most things, I think a lot of the trees do.
And then
come
the material
from
that they're made with, some say could be harmful to the environment. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but these are things for people to think about.
Yeah, these are things for you to think about. There are some trees that you can search into and see if you can find a better quality tree that's a fake tree that you can possibly recycle bits if not the whole on, but you will be left with the product that you've got to do something with if you buy a fake tree. And oftentimes fake trees end up in the landfill. Flocking trees, even live trees that have the flocking, That is a hazard. It's a hazard for animals. It's a hazard for chipping. If you bring a tree that has flocking on it, whether fake or real, and please do not bring a fake tree to a chipping site. But that's going to clog up the chipper. Mm-hmm. So it looks really pretty, but I'm not a big fan of flock trees. But if you do purchase a tree that is fake, and there's some reasons for doing that, but make sure that you've got a thought process of how you might be able to recycle parts of that tree. Sometimes there's some hard to recycle drives that happen with lights. If you can take the lights off and recycle those, if you can take the metal off and recycle that. But the plastic is, there's only limited ways you can do recycling with the trees. So just thinking through very, very, very much in detail about what you can do with the tree that you've got. And there's even some alternatives. If you don't want to buy a pre-manufactured tree, if you don't want to go out and get a real tree for whatever reason, mm-hmm. you can create a tree with plastic bottles that can be recycled. You can create it. You can make a tree with paper. Mm-hmm. You can find other items to make one that's reusing. And then you have items that you can absolutely recycle later on.
And Megan, before we let you go, I have a listener who wants to know, can you take these reefs? I have a huge wreath rose. Can I also take that to the wood chipper? It's a technically live wreath. I don't know if they're alive. How do you have a live wreath? Yeah.
Right. Some wreaths are live, but a lot of those wreaths have the metal that you cannot get off. So check with your local affiliate. Again, we had the listing on our website, kgbf.org, with the locations, but most do not encourage wreaths, although some will have some hard to recycle options. But the most important thing is, if you're bringing a tree, do not bring it with any lights or ornaments on it, because lights and ornaments cannot go through the chipper.
And speaking with Matt Bowman yesterday, and he talked about that folks may not understand is that it takes years from when you plant to grow a tree to a size that, you know, can be used for purchase. It can take, 7 to 8 years. So when you consider that, and then you consider, you know, the nation's tree supply, what concerns you as we move into the future about this supply of our trees here?
Well, it's very interesting. I mean, we would never know what the future is going to hold, but there are nearly 350 million Christmas trees on a good year grown in the U.S. So it is a local resource. Mm-hmm. And for every tree that's harvested, 1 to 3 seedlings are planted in its place. So it is a renewable source in and of itself. So I'm in favor of real trees. Mm-hmm. My father is in horticulture, and he loves trees, and trees are going to grow, and they're going to get harvested, and they're going to eventually die and get replaced by new trees. But we need to make sure that if we do take a tree out wherever it is for whatever reason, that we are replacing it. Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to keep our trees around.
And how is Georgia doing overall when it comes to recycling and keeping our not just the land, but our waterways? I mean, we've had some efforts here and around the Atlanta mm-hmm. area, I think of Proctor Creek, to clean up some of these waterways. And obviously, we all always hear about, you know, keeping the hooch free and clear of litter. Clean up the hooch, the Chattahoochee River. Yeah. How are we doing overall in Georgia?
We're actually making some really good efforts. I don't have any hard statistics, but there are a lot of great organizations. Our affiliate network, we have Rivers Alive that does the fall waterway cleanups across the state for all of Georgia's waterways. Our affiliates do cleanups year-round. We're partnered with the Georgia Recycling Coalition. So there's a lot of great organizations that are all in the same boat. They're working at it from different angles, mm-hmm. but we're all in the same boat to do what we can. And the volunteers that come out, the community volunteers that come out and take ownership of their area is invaluable. It really is.
I have a listener that says also for parents, if you can find toys that do not have batteries, I'm like, ooh, there we go. Hey, not bad.
Exactly.
Megan Whitehead, the program and affiliate support manager at the Keep Georgia Beautiful Foundation. We're talking about the importance of having a very sustainable and very green holiday season with trees and reefs and all that. Thank you so much. Good conversation. Happy holidays.
Thanks, happy holidays to you too. Bye-bye.
And you know, it's conversations like the one we just had, Raul, and I coming up in just a few moments. We're going to talk about something else that's very important during this time of year. It's how do we maybe keep down new COVID-19 and other respiratory viruses from popping up. We're in that season, right? You know, obviously we're all still dealing with COVID, and you've got flu season and these other viruses. So these are the types of conversations that we have every day. I call them quality of life conversations. And in these final hours of our fundraiser, we're asking you to, you know, help us out a little bit if you appreciate these quality of life conversations. And we got a good reason why, because we're giving away a $1,000 Delta Airlines gift card. So please, it's real easy. Take a moment to give at wabe.org/donate. I'm joined by our politics reporter, Raul Bali.
And you can get in on that drawing by calling 678-553-9090. And it is stories like that. And, you know, the great thing is a lot of that information, we know some of this information, but there may be other things we don't know, like the wreath information, mm-hmm. you know. You may not have thought about those metal things. And you, there was one disease you didn't mention with me having little kids, RSV.
Yeah, we talked about that, though, with Dr. Andy Shane. Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of watching for all of these as parents. You know, we had three birthday parties this weekend. Mm. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, what are we doing here? But yeah, flu, RSV. And again, a lot of this information is information. You know, but you get a reminder or you get a little gem or nugget from our great interviews that we do here. And that's what helps us here at WABE to do that kind of research with, again, our small teams, but we're able to get that information. We have a great health reporter in Jess Mador, mm-hmm. who's been doing, you know, amazing coverage on all of these challenges. So again, if you want to help us out and support our mission here, 678-553-9090 or wabe.org/donate.
You know, Raul, so much has happened this year, and WAB was there to tell you what it meant. And I tell you this all the time. I told you and Sam, the reporting from our WABE politics team, I just stellar. I even said this on some national and international programs that I was on. You know, you all kept listeners informed, not just with sound bites, but you would come on the program and you would sort of take it even further and let our listeners know what lawmakers were doing, what was happening on the campaign trail. So all of that was so important. And you know what? I want to ask folks, look, when you think about, hey, I want to map out our future plans for next year. Well, hopefully WABE is a part of that by you making a financial help today. Please lend a help. Please lend a hand with a year-end gift at wabe.org/donate or call. Do it the old-fashioned way, 678-553-9090, and thank you.
Trying new things can be scary, like finally signing up for that improv class or putting spinach in your smoothie. Come on, you can do it. Well, you don't have to slurp liquid vegetables to try something new. Whether you just got into public radio or you've been with us for years, listening to this station as a member is a whole new kind of listening. So don't be afraid. Here's how to donate.
It's real easy, 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. Now, think about making a gift to WABE the same way you would to a friend or a relative. WABE is always here for you, and your one-time gift will really help us right now. And again, that $1,000 Delta Airlines gift card, Raul, now you have a family, so you can't just take off by yourself, but where would you go? If you were leaving today with the family, you can't go by yourself.
No. I can tell you where we're going at the end of the week.
Where are y'all going?
We're going to Argentina. Ooh. And going to Galapagos.
Wow.
Once in a lifetime trip. It's going to be amazing with the kids and the wife. And yes, that's where we're going to next. It's going to be so cool. I mean, honestly, it's one of those cool, cool trips that you're like, I'm going to go one day, and we're doing it.
Wow. If I was leaving on a jet plane, if I was leaving today, right now, like right after the program. Mm-hmm. I would go to Portland, Maine, because I've always wanted to go to Portland, Maine, and it's just a beautiful place. I have friends up there, and I've always wanted to visit, and I want to get an authentic lobster roll, because apparently I can't get one here in Atlanta. At least that's what everyone is telling me, so I'd go to Portland, Maine. Not as exciting as Argentina.
No, but Maine is one of the states in America.
But that was for today. Now, yeah, I have some other future plans. But anyway, folks, think about making a gift to WABE the same way you would to a friend. That's all we're saying. 678-553-99 or online at wabe.org/donate.
And I want to take a moment to thank the people who've already called. Teresa from Decatur, who's given us a call to support us. Thank you so much, because again, it helps us support the work we're doing here. Also, we've gotten calls from Canton, Alpharetta, and the new city of Mableton, the only cityhood that passed.
Yeah.
We had so many cityhood stories, and only one of them makes it. It's Mableton. But again, thank you so much. You can help us out at 678-553-9090 or wabe.org slash wabe.org/donate.
You can do it, Raul. And remember now, you'll be entered into a drawing to win that $1,000 Delta Airlines gift card. Again, as Raul said, wabe.org/donate or 678-553-9090. And thank you. And Closer Look continues from WABE here in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. Now, we know, obviously, we're all still dealing with COVID-19, but it is the flu season, and then there's other respiratory viruses that, you know, we all have to be concerned about. So, recently, I spoke with Dr. Barbara Mann. She's Deputy Chief of the Enteric Disease Epidemiology Branch at the CDC. She's also a pediatrician and epidemiologist. And we began our conversation talking about how far the nation has come since 2020.
We're clearly in a different phase of COVID-19. It's not the disruptive threat that it once was, but that certainly doesn't mean that COVID is over. And, you know, schools and businesses are open and people are getting back to their more normal routines more safely. And really importantly, we have the tools to prevent most COVID deaths and severe illnesses. So we really all need to keep doing our part, including by getting an updated vaccine this winter and getting treated if we get sick or and are at high risk. You know, but at the same time, the virus isn't the same issue it once was. And so we really can move forward safely.
Well, I want to talk about that because last year this time there was concerns about the new variants leading to an increase in cases. How did the nation fare, though, Dr. Mann, during the winter season, which ended obviously earlier here in 2022? How did we get through that?
Yeah. Well, you know, for the last two winters, so the winter of 2020 to 2021 and winter of 2021 to 2022, we have had big surges of COVID-19 that really stressed our healthcare system with a lot of people getting really sick, a lot of deaths, and, you know, really a huge challenge to the nation and to all of our communities. This year, we are watching carefully to see what's going to happen. We do expect that new variants are going to continue to occur. We also know that respiratory viruses typically do increase in the fall and the winter. Mm-hmm. And so we would not be at all surprised if we had an increase in COVID-19 this winter, along with some of the other respiratory viruses that are, you know, getting back more towards their normal circulation, like RSV and influenza that have mm-hmm. also been in the news. So we're watching carefully. We're concerned. We really are encouraging people to get their flu vaccine, to get their updated COVID vaccine, and to get tested and get treated if they get sick and are in high-risk groups, because there are medicines that can treat both flu and COVID.
Let's talk about messaging for a moment, because obviously you all have been leading the charge in terms of getting the message out. We know about concerns of conflicting messages, not only from the CDC, but then also maybe what public health departments were saying, and then what some folks were saying from Washington, D.C. And it was just a lot of folks saying a lot of different things. But now, as we head into the winter break, what is your hope that local health departments will also be reiterating this message? I mean, I just did a story not too long ago where we talked about the health departments encouraging Georgians here to get vaccinated and to be mindful. Are you seeing that health departments got to be crucial in this messaging? State health departments.
Yeah, state health departments and local health departments they're the engine. They're where the rubber meets the road, and they're so important to keeping people safe and healthy. And so the messages about, you know, getting vaccinated for flu and the updated vaccine for COVID, they're just the basic everyday health and hygiene practices, like hand washing, like improving ventilation, you know, air filtration when gathering indoors, like avoiding contact with people who are ill, getting tested if you do get ill and you need it. We think those messages can really help people get through the winter safely and keep their loved ones safe. And I think health departments are on board with those messages about vaccination, testing, and everyday measures to keep yourself well.
It is my understanding that to better help forecast the potential COVID-19 rates, that you all, folks like you, you always seem to turn a watchful eye to what's happening in Europe. Why is that?
Well, we watch what's happening all over the world. So we watch what's happening in Europe, and of course, Europe watches what's happening here. Mm-hmm. We watch what's happening in Asia, and Asia watches what's happening here. In several, for several of the variants that have emerged across the pandemic, they emerged first in other countries and then, you know, spread around the world. Mm-hmm. There were a few that emerged here in the U.S. And didn't get too much traction, but everyone was watching those. So this is really, infectious disease is a global concern. And so all of us in public health, really in countries around the world, are watching the global situation as well as our own situations in our own countries.
I have a question here from a listener who says that how do you all determine who should be, quote, fully vaccinated as opposed to, you know, just getting booster shots? It's confusing, Rose, is what the listener says.
Yeah, and I know it has been confusing. We have been, things have moved so quickly during the pandemic, and I do hope that we all hope that we're getting to a place where we're not going to need to be changing recommendations as frequently mm-hmm. as we have. But right now, it's really quite simple. CDC recommends that everyone ages 6 months and older should have gotten their vaccination for COVID-19, mm-hmm. their primary series. And then everyone 5 years and older should also get an updated COVID-19 booster if they're eligible for it. Mm-hmm. And they're eligible typically if 2 months have passed since their last booster. So it's simpler than it used to be. If you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. If you're eligible for an updated booster, get the updated booster.
And then there's a booster and then there was another booster. So I want to be very clear. How many booster shots then are you recommending if you've had the initial vaccination?
Right now, we're recommending that the updated booster, this is the we call it bivalent, includes both the original strain and then the more recent Omicron subvariants that were called BA.4 and BA.5. It includes both of those. And that updated booster can both help to restore protection that has waned since a person's last shot, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. And it can also provide broader protection against new variants. So what we're recommending is that if you haven't been vaccinated at all, get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. If you have been vaccinated, get the updated booster.
When you talk about new variants, because I remember when Delta was the variant that everybody talked about, then it was Omicron, that was the variant, then it was a subvariant of that. And look, all the experts have said, you know, there always will be a new variant coming on board. With these vaccines, can you understand folks saying, well, you know, if there's going to be a new variant coming on, are you all going to keep saying that we have to get more booster shots? Because a variant can come any time. You can understand that concern.
I can understand the concern. I also think that part of being in a different place now is that we have the experience where the vaccines have protected quite well against medically significant illness, hospitalization, throughout. And they have gone up and down to some extent with new mm-hmm. variants, but throughout, they have protected against whatever variant was circulating. So I hope that we will be at a point soon where it's mm-hmm. really just a regular, a regular annual shot. We don't know that for sure yet, mm-hmm. but I think we can say with confidence at this point, based on almost 2 years of experience with these vaccines, that what has been consistently true throughout is that they've protected people very well against serious illness, hospitalization, And that's really what matters most.
I want to shift for a moment, Dr. Mann, and talk about long-haul COVID. I remember doing a study, doing a segment on this, I think last year, year before, where we talked about, you know, the fog that comes with after COVID-19 and now concerns about those who took the antiviral drug and then with a few days after being infected with the virus were less likely to experience what you all call long COVID months later. This is a study. Can you just kind of, it was a little bit confusing for a lot of folks. Can you just kind of take people through what this is all about when we talk about long COVID?
Yeah, sure. I can try. So after COVID, some people have experienced a variety of health concerns. Among those concerns is what is often called long COVID, which is the sort of chronic fatigue, brain fog. And we are studying that very intensely across the U.S. government. NIH has studies, CDC has studies. We're really, really prioritizing trying to understand that syndrome as best we can, and to understand, most importantly, what can be done to prevent it and to treat it. Information, we're still learning a lot about it. Mm-hmm. But what we know at this point is that people who are vaccinated are less likely to get COVID and less likely to get long COVID. Sure. There's some information suggesting that people who have had COVID who get vaccinated are also less likely to get long COVID, or their long COVID may improve. And there's also information that people who are treated with the drug called Paxlovid after they have developed COVID are less likely to get long COVID. So both the messages I was giving you in our response to some of your early questions apply here too, that getting vaccinated and getting treated is really important.
I used to always ask, and Dr. Carlos Del Rio was on this program. We've had some other wonderful experts from Emory and Georgia State. And I used to always ask them, you know, what is it about this particular COVID-19, this particular virus, that is still perplexing to folks like you all? And you'll get that same question, too. Throughout all of this, is there something that's still just for you that is challenging with this virus?
There are, I think there are quite a number of really fascinating questions. I think for me, the questions that really affect people's lives are the questions that matter most. Mm-hmm. The questions about long COVID, post-COVID conditions, how much of a burden that's going to place on people for the very long term, I think is a super important question. We will, a lot more information is going to become available about that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what that information tells us.
I want to go back to something new when we started this conversation, because I was fascinated by this EIS. I wanted to know more about this, the CDC's Epidemic Intelligence Service. What is that about?
The Epidemic Intelligence Service has been around for decades. It's a CDC program that trains mostly doctoral level people, but also people from other backgrounds, in what we call field epidemiology. Mm-hmm. So it's outbreak investigation and really where the shoe leather public health, where, it's not academic, it's about actually doing the practical work to understand the real problems that are facing people, today. Mm-hmm. So field epidemiology training program, super fun. When I was an EIS officer, I got to, among other things, learn. I used to joke that I knew more about alfalfa sprouts than any other pediatrician in America, because I had investigated an outbreak linked to alfalfa sprouts.
For our listeners who do have the little ones, and we've been talking with someone who works in your field from Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, who has also been stressing to parents to get their kids vaccinated. What kind of conversations do you have with parents and the questions that they still may have about the vaccine for kids?
Yeah, I think that parents have had a lot of questions. I think parents generally trust their pediatrician and their healthcare provider to give them the right information. And I really encourage parents, to have that conversation with their healthcare provider who can answer their specific questions for their child. We do recommend COVID vaccination for all children over 6 months old. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, COVID has not been as severe in children as it has been in older people, but it can and does cause severe illness in young children, and vaccination really can protect them.
And finally, Dr. Mann, as we begin to wrap up, and I love asking this question too, you know, what is your hope where we will be maybe at the end of 2023? And I bring you back on the program and we talk about what 2023 brought in terms of COVID-19. What is your hope where we'll be?
Well, I hope that we're going to be in a place where we're using all the tools that we've developed during the pandemic for COVID-19, to control COVID-19, and applying lessons learned for other respiratory viruses. And also that our society is back more toward a place where people don't feel so scared and don't feel so confused, and things just feel a little bit more normal to kids and to their parents and to everybody.
Oh, you know what? I have one more question. I try to get all the questions in for my listeners. I have a listener that wants to know, can't you all just give another sort of national warning for folks to wear their mask, even if it's not a mandate, so we can get through the winter?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And we have been stressing that this is an option that people have. We know that, we have good science showing that masks protect people for COVID and for flu. And it makes sense that it would protect people for other respiratory viruses as well. So we definitely are encouraging people to think about using a mask if they want, certainly if they're not feeling well, if they want to protect themselves from respiratory viruses, it is an option that's available to them.
Now, I imagine that there will be a lot of folks at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the UGA playoff game. I don't know if folks will be wearing masks, but that is a huge gathering. If you wanted to stress something to everyone who's going, and not just the game, because I'll get an email, but, New Year's Eve parties, what have you, what do you want to stress as we say goodbye?
Well, I think it's important for people to just be thinking about these issues, thinking about their own level of risk, thinking about the level of risk of their household members and their loved ones, and just be making good decisions for themselves about how they, what makes sense for them to protect themselves and to protect the important people in their lives.
Dr. Barbara Mann, Deputy Chief of the Enteric Disease Epidemiology Branch at the CDC. Really appreciate you taking the time with this valuable information for our listeners. Thank you so much. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
And conversations like the one you just heard, very important conversations that you hear every day here on Closer Look, and obviously with other shows and programs that you enjoy. We are in our final hours of the year-end fundraiser, where we're giving away a $1,000 Delta Airlines gift card. You're being entered into the drawing with your year-end gift right now at wabe.org/donate. And I'm joined by Raul Bali, our politics team, because we already at least know some people are going to be entered in that drawing, right?
Absolutely. Some of those people are Sharon from Tucker, who tells us that she's been meaning to give, and this became the perfect time. And then Dawn from Carrollton, who donates, and she tells us she listens to WABE whenever she's here around Atlanta. And so she gave today. So thanks to her. Thanks to both of them for just taking those few minutes, maybe just 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, mm-hmm. to donate at wabe.org/donate or give us a call.
678-553-9090. That is the old-fashioned way. But you know what? We'll walk you through it. And remember now, when you enter, and also if you're listening in the 7 o'clock broadcast, rebroadcast, don't worry. We got you. You're in it too. 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. And if you want to make sure this is on the up and up, because that's what we do as journalists, we encourage that, just visit wabe.org/contest rules. I cannot win. Raul cannot win. So just letting y'all know, 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. Thank you so much to everyone who's donated during this live broadcast of Closer Look. And as well, Raul Bali, as always, I appreciate you hanging out. You didn't bring any donuts this time, but that's all right.
Well, I came straight from the Capitol, like right out of here.
There are, you know how many donut shops there are in between the Capitol and WABE, brother?
Do you know how bad traffic is in the middle of the day
Doesn't
here?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Our producers are LaShawn Hudson, Daniel Razel, Pat St. Clair. Our engineer is Kevin Rinker. A reminder, let me know your thoughts on today's program or any other. Send me an email, rose@wabe.org. And I am not a Kansas the Band hater. I think they're wonderful. They still only have 2.5 hits. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE Atlanta. Maybe 3.5. I'm Rose Scott.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE Politics podcast. New name, same on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE Politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we talk to politicians and voters to break down each week's biggest headlines. New episodes drop on Fridays. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.
WABE.